Dearly beloved in Christ, we will continue this morning our catechism study with a lesson on confirmation, lesson 25. But before we begin this lesson, there is one very important question in the lesson last Sunday on baptism, which we neglected, and that is the question regarding administering baptism conditionally. And I don't know if I can find it in the book, but the substance of the question is this. Is it proper, or should you give baptism when someone is dying in case of necessity with this condition in mind? If a priest cannot get here in time, then I intend to baptize this person and then proceed to baptize the person. And it's very important to realize that that baptism would not be valid. We should never give baptism based on a future condition. So if someone is dying and you're not sure if the priest is going to get there in time and this person is a catechumen or an infant, you either baptize or you don't baptize. But if there's danger of death, then you baptize. And if you baptize, you do it unconditionally. In other words, whether the priest will get there on time or not, you intend to baptize absolutely. Because if you base baptism on a future condition, if the priest doesn't get here in time, it will be invalid regardless whether he does or not, your baptism, if it would be based on a future condition. So that should never be done. And so if there is a danger of death, you make a decision and then you proceed to follow through with that decision and baptize. If you feel there's danger of death, baptize absolutely without condition. Lesson 25, confirmation. What is confirmation? Confirmation is the sacrament through which the Holy Ghost comes to us in a special way to enable us to profess our faith as strong and perfect Christians and soldiers of Jesus Christ. So confirmation is a strengthening. As a matter of fact, the very word confirmation comes from a Latin word, the verb confirmare, to strengthen, because it is this sacrament which strengthens the soul to live its faith. The chief effect of this sacrament being to strengthen us in our faith and religious practices. Why are we called in confirmation soldiers of Jesus Christ? We are called soldiers of Jesus Christ because it is our duty to follow our Lord faithfully and to fight our spiritual enemies, just as a soldier must follow his commander and fight the enemies of his country. And we know the chief enemies of our soul are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And it is these enemies especially that we fight in the spiritual battles throughout our life, and especially when we have been confirmed, receive the grace and strength to fight as good soldiers. At confirmation, one may take a new name and thus have another saint to imitate and invoke as a patron. Who is the usual minister of confirmation? The bishop is the usual minister of confirmation. Now, the answer lists the bishop as the usual minister of confirmation because there are times when a priest could confirm. You know that in Eastern rites, in the Oriental rites, most priests were given, as a standard practice, the permission to administer confirmation. A pastor, a parish priest, could administer confirmation in danger of death. And certain missionary priests were given that faculty by Pope Pius XII or popes before him. But a priest normally could not administer confirmation. Not only would it be unlawful, but it would be invalid unless there were certain circumstances in the proper permission. What does the bishop do when he gives confirmation? The bishop extends his hands over those who are to be confirmed, prays that they may receive the Holy Ghost, and while laying his hand on the head of each person, anoints the forehead with holy chrism in the form of a cross. By the extending of the bishop's hands, and then subsequently the laying of his hand on the head of each person, is signified the descent of the Holy Ghost with his power into the souls of the persons being confirmed. Now, as we said, I believe, last week in baptism, the Holy Ghost comes into the soul for the first time at baptism. We must not have the misimpression that when someone is confirmed, he is receiving the Holy Ghost for the first time. Not at all. A person receives the Holy Ghost in his soul, becomes a temple of the Holy Ghost at baptism. Confirmation merely is the time when the person receives a fuller outpouring of the graces and gifts of the Holy Ghost, which he already had. What does the bishop say in anointing the person he confirms? The bishop says, I sign thee with the sign of the cross, and I confirm thee with the chrism of salvation in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Those words would constitute the form of the sacrament. What is Holy Chrism? Holy Chrism is a mixture of olive oil and balm blessed by the bishop on Holy Thursday. In the Eastern Rites, in addition to putting into the olive oil balm, I believe there are something like over 100 different aromatic herbs that are put into the olive oil in making chrism. The only one that has to be put in is balm, but that's what's done in the Eastern Rites. And the purpose of the balm, which is a very sweet, savory substance, is to signify the sweetness of virtue, the good odor of virtue, which a person confirmed is obligated to shed around him, the good odor of his virtues. And of course, the olive oil that is also used in the chrism signifies a strengthening. The athletes in the olden times used to spread the oil on their bodies to limber up their muscles, and that olive oil signifies a strengthening. There are three holy oils that are used in the church: the oil of catechumens, the holy chrism, and the oil of the sick. And these oils are used in the administration of the sacraments and also in some other functions, like if you have the blessing of a bell for a church or the consecration of a church, various oils are used. But the holy oils are looked upon as something very sacred. As a matter of fact, after the Blessed Sacrament and the sacraments, there is nothing more sacred in the possession of the church than the holy oils. And usually in a church there is a little cabinet, I guess we could say, in the wall. In addition to the, you have the tabernacle for the Blessed Sacrament, and they had in churches what was called the ambry, A-M-B-R-Y. Inside the ambry were kept the holy oils. And I remember in the parish church I grew up in and served, the ambry was in the wall, opening out into the sacristy, and also there was an opening from the sanctuary and also from the sacristy, so the priest could get the holy oils for a sick call. And there was kept a light burning before the ambry, normally because of the sacredness of the holy oils. But the holy oils are made by the bishop on Holy Thursday, and I will just read to you their uses in the sacraments. The oil of catechumens, also called holy oil, is used in the anointing of the breast and back of one who is about to be baptized. It is also used to anoint the hands of those ordained to the holy priesthood. Holy chrism is used to anoint the head of one who has just been baptized towards the end of the ceremony, as well as the forehead of one being confirmed, and also the head and hands of a priest who is consecrated a bishop. And the oil of the sick is used administering extreme unction. Now, getting back to confirmation, what is meant by anointing the forehead with chrism in the form of a cross? Anointing the forehead with chrism in the form of a cross signifies that the Catholic who is confirmed must always be ready to profess his faith openly and practice it fearlessly. That's why the bishop traces a cross on your forehead. Even though you can't see it, it's traced there with oil, but it's to signify that we shouldn't be ashamed of the cross. We shouldn't be ashamed of our faith. We must profess our faith openly when necessary. We must practice it fearlessly and not be ashamed of it. The bishop also gives the person he confirms a slight blow on the cheek to remind him that he must be ready to suffer everything, even death, for the sake of Christ. You ever wonder what that signifies? The bishop gives a little tap on the cheek to the person he confirms at the end of the ceremony to signify that we must be willing to suffer. We must not say, well, I'll live my faith as long as I don't have to suffer for it, even if it means martyrdom. We must rather suffer death than ever deny our faith. As a matter of fact, martyrdom has always been looked upon by the church as a privilege, as a grace for those who received the gift, the grace of martyrdom, who were permitted to shed their blood for their faith. It was a ticket to heaven. They went straight to heaven. And this is what confirmation means. And children who are being prepared for confirmation must be taught that. It must be impressed upon them. What does it mean when the bishop gives you a little tap on the cheek? It reminds you that you must be willing to suffer for your faith, even if it means death, to suffer death for your faith. What are the chief effects of confirmation? Confirmation increases sanctifying grace in the soul. It gives a special sacramental grace, and it imprints a lasting character on the soul. You remember we were talking about the sacraments. Three of them imprint an indelible character, a mark on the soul that will never go away. And they are baptism, confirmation, and holy orders. And so these three sacraments can never be repeated. If confirmation is administered a second time conditionally, for good reason, because the first time was in the Vatican II Church and it was of doubtful validity, well, then that's a different thing. But the sacrament itself can never be repeated. You cannot receive it a second time. And that's why it is so important for children to be taught also, when they are confirmed, to be well prepared. Because if they are ill prepared, they cannot go back and do it again. What is this character of confirmation? The character of confirmation is a spiritual and indelible sign which marks the Christian as a soldier in the army of Christ. We can't see it. It is a mark on the soul, but God can see it. The angels can see it. And it is a mark that will shine on our souls in eternity. Now, we mentioned that confirmation also gives its special sacramental grace. The sacramental grace of confirmation helps us to live our faith loyally and profess it courageously. Each of the sacraments gives a sacramental grace, meaning a special grace of the sacrament, for the fulfilling of the purpose of that sacrament. So the sacramental grace for a priest for holy orders is to help him fulfill his duties. The sacramental grace of matrimony is to help parents fulfill those duties of that sacrament and that state of life. And the sacramental grace of confirmation helps the confirmed Christian to live his faith loyally and profess it courageously. And it is a grace we should call upon. We should ask the Holy Ghost to grant us that grace in times of need, when we know that we stand in need of it. Confirmation is called the sacrament of the Holy Ghost because it inspires the recipient to use fruitfully the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. Again, those seven gifts are given at baptism. Confirmation helps us to make use of them. What is necessary to receive confirmation properly? To receive confirmation properly, it is necessary to be in the state of grace, to know well the chief truths and duties of our religion. So children that are prepared for confirmation have to know well the chief truths and duties of their faith. And to receive the graces of the sacrament, it's necessary for one to be in the state of grace. Quite obviously, it is a sacrament of the living. Now, what would happen if, God forbid, someone receives the sacrament of confirmation in mortal sin? That person would receive the sacrament because it can't be repeated. So he validly receives the sacrament, he receives the character in his soul, but of course he receives no grace. It would be a sacrilege, and he would receive no grace. Once that person goes to confession and makes a good confession, confessing also that sacrilegious reception of confirmation, but once he makes a good confession, he will then receive the delayed graces of the sacrament, but of course to a minimum degree, not the abundant outpouring that he would have received had he been better prepared. But the sacrament cannot be repeated, and the graces would be forthcoming after that person would make a good confession. After we have been confirmed, why should we continue to study our religion even more earnestly than before? After we have been confirmed, we should continue to study our religion even more earnestly than before, so that we may be able to explain and defend our faith and thus cooperate with the graces of confirmation. It is very important for us to realize that confirmation does not only give us grace, it also imposes a duty. It imposes an obligation. Once a person has been confirmed, he has a far more serious obligation to spread the faith, to explain the faith to someone who's inquisitive, and so therefore to be able to explain it, and, of course, to live it, to give a good example in his life. Now, it doesn't mean we have to go around preaching. But you have to be ready to explain the faith to someone who wants to know. You have to be a good example of living the faith. And you also must be ready and willing to be able to explain the faith, but to know the faith well enough so that you can explain it when that circumstance arises. Now, why should all Catholics be confirmed? All Catholics should be confirmed in order to be strengthened against the dangers to salvation and to be prepared better to defend their Catholic faith. Confirmation is a sacrament that we can say is necessary. It is not absolutely necessary, but relatively it is a necessary sacrament. Because ordinarily speaking, a person who is baptized, grows up, becomes an adult, gets married or whatever is in the lay state, and goes on throughout his life without being confirmed is going to find it very difficult, much more difficult to save his soul. And so that's why confirmation is necessary, especially in the age in which we live. We need all the graces we can get, especially the grace to live our faith loyally, profess it courageously, the very grace that confirmation gives. Some spiritual writers and theologians even go so far as to say that if an adult, for no good reason, hasn't been confirmed and doesn't seek to be confirmed, and there's no good reason for it, it could even be a mortal sin, a serious sin. Because those graces are made available there by Almighty God, they're needed, and a person should not just put it off. Unless there's, of course, a good reason. If a person is in a circumstance, in a situation, he cannot obtain confirmation for a long period of time, that would be a different matter. But all of this to help us realize the importance of the sacrament of confirmation. We need those graces, and we need them more than ever today. And so if there are any adults that haven't been confirmed, next time there are a series of classes preparing for confirmation for next June, May or June, prepare for confirmation. Go out of your way to attend the classes. If you can't attend them, talk to a priest and find out, what can I do to receive the necessary instruction so that I can be confirmed the next time the bishop gives the sacrament? Because again, we need those graces, especially in this day and age. And finally, one is supposed at confirmation to have a sponsor. In general, the same qualities are required for godparents in confirmation as for godparents in baptism. To be a godparent in confirmation, one must himself be confirmed, and ordinarily the one who is godparent at a person's baptism should not be the godparent at his confirmation. So this then concludes the lesson from the Catechism on the sacrament of confirmation. Confirmation is that sacrament of the living, which can be received only once, which imprints an indelible character on the soul, and which helps us to live our faith as we should. It brings us a fuller outpouring of the gifts and graces of the Holy Ghost. It helps us to use the gifts of the Holy Ghost, which we've had since baptism. It strengthens us in the practice of our faith. Confirmation, we can say, completes the work that baptism began. Now, that doesn't mean that baptism is incomplete. But confirmation takes up where baptism left off. Baptism initiates us into the mystical body of Christ. It brings us the gifts, the grace of God, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. It makes us temples of the Holy Ghost. Baptism helps us to go beyond that, to live our faith and profess it courageously, that we might merit the reward promised only to those who live their faith as they should. Next week, we will continue with the study of sacraments, beginning the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. And that will take us several weeks to adequately discuss the Holy Eucharist and receiving the Holy Eucharist in communion, and also the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, in which is contained the Holy Eucharist. In the name of the Father, and of the